I was watching myself from beside myself. I saw myself crouched in the dim light of our hall stairs. I was eavesdropping on my father and Lyle, one of my father's best friends. My father and Lyle whispered about my older sister, Patrice. I heard Lyle say, "Patrice has gotten mighty curvy all of a sudden," and it wasn't a compliment. My fingers dug as far as they could go into the blue parts of the Persian-style runner that carpeted our hall stairs. My father agreed about Patrice in a voice as plush as the runner. He used the carpet voice only with Lyle and their other buddy, Ted. When I heard that voice, I left for the ceiling, didn't press against it. I was as empty as light, looking down at myself on the stairs. Same Catholic uniform as all the girls wore, but I knew what was coming. For 3 years, my father and his friends had left me home to take care of little Matt while they took Patrice to Lyle's cabin in the mountains. The next time they went, they left Patrice at home to take care of little. I wanted 10. My family was in Rome. For the past 6 months, wherever I was, St. Christopher's Academy, city bus to St. Chris's, or home, I was also in that dim light on those hall stairs. Right now, I was in Rome, leaning against the railing of what Mom's four-doors called a classic pedestrian bridge, Ponte Sant'Angelo. A series of arches over a river, expansive greenery on one side, white tents down by the water on the other. The river was the Tiber. I knew that from the morning's peek into four-doors. Bulletin points on hotel paper tucked into the pages. Mom's hallmark script. The first time they took me, Lyle's cabin emerged brown and boring from beside the dirt road in the forest, far from the tree-lined highway and the boarded-up windows of the failed logging town. It was evening. I watched, from beside myself, while Lyle, Ted, and my father played pool and drank St. Pauli Girl. My father and Lyle bellowed, "You never forget your first girl." And each time they sang it out, Ted observed them as if he were a lizard watching the stupidest people he'd ever seen. On the bridge, I touched the railing. Hot. In the forest, the room smelled more like sweat than it did like beer. Each time he set it up, my father said, "Rack 'em." And each time he was more gregarious than the last. Ted removed his wedding ring. He said, "Looks like we're out of beer." And my father, with the forward-thrusting gesture of a long-ago king leading troops into battle, from the bridge I could see Castle Sant'Angelo. My father put his pool cue into the holder on the wall. I was on the Ponte Sant'Angelo Bridge, built in 134 AD by Emperor Publius Aelius Hadrianus. I was at the cabin and absorbed into the water below the bridge, an ethereal green in the Italian afternoon, maybe 25 feet down, not far enough to do anything but hurt. I could always aim for the rocks. Ponte Sant'Angelo had lots of statues of angels built onto the railings. There were street vendors, goods laid out on blankets, sightseeing throngs, and artists doing that Italian thing where they painted the scenery or sketched tourists. Where was Mom in her pretty cherry-patterned dress? Where was little Matt and Patrice? Each time Patrice came home from a cabin weekend, I never asked, she never told. But each time Patrice came home, she looked swollen. How did I come to be alone on Ponte Sant'Angelo? Then I remembered. I'd stopped